and thank you very much for joining us. It's always a great simcha to be learning Torah together, and especially right before we celebrate Chag HaPesach, I'd like to just share some very important thoughts that can be taken with us into the Yom Tov of Pesach, and more specifically, into Lel HaSeder. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was the protagonist. He was the most important aspect of Geulas Mitzrayim. And yet, what's very strange is, Rav Soloveitchik writes, it's a comment that is not his own, but it's a comment that he writes so beautiful in his book, Festivals of Freedom. What is Moshe's role in Jewish history? Is he completely forgotten and erased? Have we forgotten about Moshe Rabbeinu? To the contrary. From the time of his birth that is recounted in Parsha Shemos, he is mentioned in almost every sedra, but one. He was not immortalized as a politician, hero, or a strategist. Moshe is immortalized as a teacher. We do not refer to Moshe as Moshe Goaleinu. We don't refer to him as Moshe Moshiyenu. Nor do we refer to him as Moshe Mishichenu. He is not our Mashiach. Rather, we refer to him as Moshe Rabbeinu. Because referring to him, says Rav Soloveitchik, as Moshe Goaleinu would be something that would be blasphemous. And yet, although Moshe Rabbeinu is our teacher, is our leader, did everything for the Jewish people throughout their time journeying in the desert and throughout the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rav Soloveitchik writes so beautifully that when it came to Lel HaSeder, he had a very difficult time understanding what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is what he writes. Moshe's name was eliminated from the pages of the Haggadah, as if he never existed. But we are a grateful people. We feel very sorry for him on Pesach night. I remember that when I was a small child, I asked why Moshe is not mentioned in the Haggadah. And all the answers my father gave me, which were similar to the explanation I have given here, were futile. Simply, I cried. Finally, my father, in order to calm me down, said that he found the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. But other than that, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in all the pages of the Haggadah. And that is very strange. That is very hard to understand. How do we explain the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu? And the truth is, the Rav Soloveitchik, is certainly not the first one to point this out. We already find this comment in the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, on the Pasuk, Akumana v'asova v'ba'ir, just to remind ourselves, to reacquaint ourselves with the story. You have in Shir HaShirim a woman who's in her home, and her husband comes to the house, and she's waiting for her husband, and then she gives up. And then he knocks on the door, and she's already under the covers, under the blankets. Akumana v'asova v'ba'ir, by the time she finally gets up, the husband has already gone on his way to find somewhere else to go. And she runs around incessantly, roaming around the streets, trying to find where her husband is. Avaksha esha ahavanafshi, I'm looking for my beloved. I'm searching, I'm inquiring, I'm asking anyone I can find. Where is my most beloved husband, my spouse? Bikashti v'lo mitzasiv, I look around for him, and unfortunately I cannot find him. And the Medrash writes, what is this a reference to? We know that the whole story of Shir HaShirim is an allegory. But what does it mean here when we say, Bikashtiv v'lo mitzasiv, and the Medrash says, this is a reference to the story of Pesach. Zelayla shel Mitzrayim, this is Lel HaSeder. Bikashtiv eis she'ahava nafshi, we are looking for our beloved who is Moshe Rabbeinu. Ze Moshe v'lo mitzasiv, we don't find him. And it's very strange. How can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is left out of the whole Purim, of the whole story of Pesach, of the whole Geulas Mitzrayim? Think back just a few weeks to the story of Purim, and you will find the same phenomenon. There, it is undeniable, it's undisputable, that the heroes of the story were Mordechai and Esther. Consider the great amount of courage that it took for both of them to do what needed to be done to save the Jewish people at the time. Mordechai, it starts off that he refuses to bow down to Haman, and that was tremendous courage. That was not easy for him. It was a difficult decision. Esther enters into the king's chamber, into the king's inner sanctum, unannounced, and she's willing to risk her life. Mordechai inspires and rouses the Jewish people to tshuva. And think about the amount that they sacrificed on a personal level to bring about the Yeshua, to bring about all that needed to be done for the Jews in that generation. And yet, with all of the unbelievable leadership that they displayed at that time, think about how we refer to them in Al-Hanisim. In Al HaNisim, when we recount the story, the great Yeshua, the great miracle that took place at the time, we almost don't mention them at all. They're on the periphery. And all we say is, Bimei Mordechai ve Esther b'Shushan HaBir. Really? This was just in the days of Mordechai and Esther? This was a lot more than just the days of Mordechai and Esther. This didn't just take place in the days when Mordechai and Esther lived. They were the heroes. They were the protagonists that made the whole story happen. Without them, there would be no redemption. So how do we say, Bimei Mordechai ve Esther was so much more than that? And the answer simply is that on Leil HaSeder, we have an opportunity to remind ourselves that although in every generation God chooses His emissaries, God chooses His prophets and His messengers and all those people who He wants to be in His place as His proxy, we must always ultimately recognize, we must always understand that in the end, it is always God Himself who orchestrates, who administers, and who operates every experience of our lives. Yes, every generation has a Moshe Rabbeinu, has an Aaron HaKohen, has a Mordechai, has an Esther, and all the other great Tanaim, Amoraim, all the great leaders. But don't ever forget, don't ever lose sight, that all of these are ultimately just messengers who are standing in the place of God Himself. And this really is the essence of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, of Leil HaSeder. It's an opportunity for us to strengthen our belief, our confidence in the Ribono Shel Olam Himself. It's an opportunity to educate our children and our families of this conviction that we believe in so strongly. When Moshe Rabbeinu was first told about his mission to go down to Mitzrayim to negotiate with Pyro, the Torah says, L'chein amar levnei Yisrael, I want you to go down to the Jewish people and I want you to take them out, v'otzeisi eschem mitachas siblos Mitzrayim, v'yitzalti eschem me'avodasam, v'ga'alti eschem mizra'a netuya, and he outlines for them everything that is going to happen, and all of that is for one purpose and one purpose only, v'idatem ki ani Hashem. The objective of all that you're going to experience, of all that you will see, is that in the end, you will have a clear understanding that Ani Hashem, that I am God who runs every experience in your life, who is intimately involved in everything that happens in the entire duration of life, who is the reason why you have everything, who is the reason why sometimes you don't have what you think you maybe should have had. And in fact, in the Haggadah we say, Lo al yidei malach, v'lo al yidei shaliach, ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. We remind ourselves that ultimately it is God Himself who makes all of this happen. And that is the sacred obligation, that is the sacred duty of every Jew on Leil HaSeder, to remember that ultimately it is not about any of the messengers, it is only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. It is only about the Ribono Shel Olam Himself, and how much we rely on Him in every aspect of our lives. In fact, the Vilna Gaon writes in his Haggadah that he also noticed that Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be missing, but he explains, Shekein b'chol siper yitzias Mitzrayim, ein lanu zikaron chas v'shalom es Moshe Rabbeinu. Dare we mention the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, ki aser lanu deshatev shum davar lechvodu liatzmo. We don't add any other participants to God Himself. This has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, rak b'Hashem levado. Think back to the story of Yosef HaTzadik, where there we are told very clearly the reason why Yosef was punished is because he put all of his faith in human beings, in his connections, in his smarts. Yosef didn't understand that it is all up to God. And you can make all the political connections in the world, and you can have all the money in the world, and you can be in the greatest position possible, and you can make yourself in a place where it is undeniable that you are best suited to deal with the situation, and yet you sometimes forget that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are moments in our lives when the Ribono Shel Olam needs to come and remind us that ultimately God has emissaries, God has delegates, God has many ambassadors throughout the experience of life, but we always know that although they carry that with honor and distinction, they carry that responsibility the way that they are supposed to, but they always make sure to remind us that we should never forget as a people that it is the Ribono Shel Olam Himself who controls, who decides, who regulates, and who manages all that goes on in our world. At the very end of the Seder, we say a piyut, of Echad Miyodea. And this is something which has always seemed very strange to me. We spend the entire night emphasizing the importance of the Ribono Shel Olam. V'yidatem ki ani Hashem. We recount the miracles of our people throughout history, and we speak about our collective feelings of gratitude and gratefulness for our survival. And to sum it all up, what do? Some kind of strange joke of a poem where we play a numbers game? And don't say it's just Kadesha Yishalu Hatinokas. It's not that we should keep the kids awake. The kids are sleeping already. If they leave out Nirtza, we'll be okay. We have fulfilled the obligation of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what is this? What does it mean? When we end off the Seder by saying, Echad Mi Yodea. Rabbi Avram Shur from Flatbush writes an unbelievable insight which really gives a perspective into what Echad Mi Yodea is all about. And he says, the objective of this poem is to see, let us give ourselves a test. Have we been successful in all that we set out to do on Leil HaSeder? Now, how are we going to test that? So he says, for those who understand anything about psychology, you will know that there's something that we refer to as the Rorschach test. Rorschach test is when they want to do some kind of personality evaluation and they want to have an understanding of how a person thinks. So they give them what we refer to as the Rorschach test, which is a bunch of index cards that have ink blots on them, no real image, and we ask this person to give us what they believe is the image on that picture. What do they see? And the way that they interpret what they see on the picture gives us an insight into how they think and how they feel in general. So, says Rav Shur, we go through an entire experience of Leil HaSeder, and we want to have an understanding as to whether or not we've been successful in really getting to this point of V'yidatem ki ani Hashem. You know how we're going to test it? We're going to put out a Rorschach test. And we're going to ask you a whole bunch of numbers. And we're going to see, is your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as strong as we want it to be? Well, let's test it. When we put up the number one, and we hold up that piece of paper in front of any Jew on the end of Leil HaSeder, and we ask them, when you think of the number one, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it your one vacation house that you have in Florida? Is it your one car that you have in your driveway? Is it that one ticket that you lost to the game that you were supposed to go to? Is it the one flight that you missed? Is it the one airport that you need to get to? Or is it Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? That is the way of testing. When we hold up the number one, are we successful in our mission of making sure that really V'yidatem ki ani Hashem? Let's hold up the number two and let's see, what will people think when we show them the number two? Do they think of all of the two things that have to do with all of our lives, or do they think about Shnei Luchos HaBris, which are so essential, which are so integral to the lives that we all live? And that, says Rav Shur, is the greatest way to test ourselves. It is the greatest way to end the Seder, because it is the way for us to really have a clear picture as to whether or not we have been successful in our mission of using the Leil HaSeder as an opportunity to ingrain in ourselves and in our families this idea of V'yidatem ki ani Hashem, that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that He is the Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, in the story throughout Leil HaSeder, we talk about how there were many attempts throughout the generations and throughout our history to annihilate the Jewish people. And it was not just the obliteration of Paro, it was Lavan Bikesh Lakaris HaKol, and each one of our enemies had their own idea and their own way of going about this job. As fact, the Medrash writes that each one of these premeditated murderers decided to learn from the one that came before them. So Esav has this plan that he's going to kill Yaakov. And then comes along Paro and he says, I'm not going to make the same mistake that Esav made. He was unsuccessful and I'm going to learn from his mistake. Kill them immediately. Don't allow them to live. And then Haman comes along and he says, no, that was a mistake. We need to kill men, women, children, everyone, all ages. Male, female, they all need to go, because this is the only way we will have the final solution. There have been many throughout the ages who have tried to destroy the Jewish people. And yet, when we think about all of these adversaries who have tried to destroy us, who have tried to annihilate us in so many different ways, all of that can be summed up in one phrase, which is what we say on Leil HaSeder, Arami Oved Avi. I believe it's Svasemes who writes that all of them have just tried to do one thing, and that is to destroy our feelings of intimacy, our feelings of closeness and connection with Avinu Shebashamayim. Oved Avi. The objective of all of them together has been to make us forget about our relationship with Avinu Av HaRachaman, with our loving Father. Because each time we go through a difficult period in history, it is inevitable that there will be people who will begin to wonder, is our Father in heaven still there? Does he really hear our voices? Does he really care to communicate with us? Does he know what we are feeling? Do any of our tefillos actually matter? When our enemies have incessantly tried to destroy us, what they really have tried to do is, Oved Avi, to destroy our feelings of closeness and connection and understanding that we have an Avinu Av HaRachaman, Avinu Shebashamayim, who cares so deeply and so sensitively about all of us. And Seder night is our opportunity to respond. It's a time to demonstrate, it's a time to reaffirm our trust, our confidence, our dependence, our love, and our closeness, and our connection with Avinu Shebashamayim. There's an amazing story told about a simple Jew in Europe who came to shul on Leil Bedikas Chametz. And he was so exhausted, he had a whole hard day of work, and he was staying up at nights trying to prepare for Pesach. And he comes and he's so exhausted, and he gets to shul and he falls asleep on a bench as they were about to start davening Ma'ariv. The Heilige Rishoner went home after Ma'ariv to prepare the mitzvah, to do the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. Later on, after he finished in his home, as is customary, he went to the shul, and he decided he has to make sure that he does an exhaustive search there as well. And he starts going through the shul, and all the chassidim are watching very quietly as the Rishoner is doing his job so carefully. And after an exhaustive search, as is customary, when one finishes Bedikas Chametz, they recite Kol Chamira. So the Rishoner gets up, and he starts saying, like the old Chassidish Rebbes used to do, every word with so much kavana, with so much intensity. And he screams out on the top of his lungs, Kol! And he's about to say Chamira, and this simple Jew jumps out of his seat in the shul. He was in a deep slumber, he was sleeping. And he jumps out of his seat and he says, Oi! He was in a panic, he couldn't believe it, he's so disoriented, and he says, I can't believe I just slept through the whole Sudam of Sekas, and now we're up to Kol Nidre! And all the Hasidim began to laugh at him, and he became the laughing stock of the community. And the Rishoner turned to all of them and he said, don't laugh at him. Because everything that a Jew can accomplish on the night of Kol Nidre, all the heights, all the inspiration, all the feelings, all that close and deep connection that we all feel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Leil Yom Kippur, on Leil Kol Nidre, said the Rishoner, those are also the feelings that one, if they do it properly, are able to engender on Leil HaSeder. There is a connection, writes Rav Soloveitchik, and this is really about the story of the Rishoner as well, there is a deep connection between Leil HaSeder and Leil Kol Nidre. And the Rishoner taught us that whatever is able to be accomplished on Leil HaSeder is no different and is no less than the Ahava and the Yira that we're able to feel on Leil Yom HaKippur, when we all shudder, when we all have a clear and deep understanding of what it means to really be connected with Avinu Shebashamayim. Perhaps we can take this one step further, and that is that when we say the Stichos leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, we mention a line, Kidalim uchirashim dafaknu delasecha. We submit ourselves humbly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, we turn to you like subordinates, like humble dependents who have nothing without you. And we knock at your gates and we stand at your portals and we beg you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for your mercy. And we ask that you think about us. On the holiday of Pesach, we can contrast that. On the holiday of Pesach, as we know, the custom is that we recite Shir HaShirim. And in Shir HaShirim here, the story is in the opposite direction. We do not stand like simple, humble subordinates and beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His love. In Shir HaShirim, which we recite on Pesach, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the tables and He stands humbly kavayachal at our door and says, I wait for you to accept my love. I've showed you so many times how much I have an interest in your relationship, in your love. Ani yishena v'libier. We are the ones who are sleeping. Kol dodi dofek, and we say on Shir HaShirim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is knocking at our door. Pischi liachosi rayasi yonasi tamasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu begs us and he asks, open up for me. I've been waiting for your love. The Ribono Shel Olam on Pesach knocks at the door. He is craving, he is yearning for that closeness with us. We don't knock on his door. He is begging, he is waiting, he is longing and expecting for our response. And all we need to do is simply accept that love and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. That is the connection between Leil HaSeder, as we know, and Leil Kol Nidre, Leil Yom HaKippurim. It is so powerful, and that's what the Rishna Rebbe taught us, that what one can accomplish on Leil Yom HaKippurim with all that Yira, one is able to accomplish on Leil HaPesach with so much Ava, with just allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, with showing him that we're willing to respond with all of the wake-up calls that the Ribono Shel Olam chooses to give us. Sometimes they're more painful than others, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends so many opportunities for us to recognize and to realize how blessed we are in our lives. And all the Ribono Shel Olam wants is that his people should just allow him in. Pischi li achosi, rayasi, yonasi, samasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just begs that we give him that opportunity to once again be re-entered into all of our collective lives. I'm reminded of one final prayer that we're going to end with, and then we'll go straight into Rabbi Leibowitz's drasha, which is scheduled for 9 o'clock. For those who are staying on for it, it's going to be an hour. It is going to be his Shabbos HaGadol drasha, and I would encourage all of you to stay on. So let me just close with one final comment of the great Rav Moshe Leib Sassover, who was one of the early Hasidic Rebbes in the end of the 1700s. And he said a beautiful prayer that I actually have written in my machzor. I wrote it in when I first saw it, and I think it's a very powerful prayer to think about every so often. Ribon ha'olamim, hevei misnahig imanu, kishem she'anu misnahagim imach. We ask that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, conduct yourself with us in the same manner in which we behave, in which we conduct ourselves with you. Anu ma'aminim b'cha, we believe, we admire, we respect you. Uv'midas tuvcha, we believe ultimately that you are the ultimate good. Afal pi she'ein anu ro'em oscha ve'ein anu yodim derachecha. There are times in our lives when we don't understand, when we don't see the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we really cannot comprehend what it is that the Ribono Shel Olam wants from all of us, and how we're supposed to handle what he sees as Midas HaRachamim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Merachim, if the whole point of creation was to be Meitiv in Briyosav, then sometimes, yes, we are baffled, we do not understand it. But says Rav Moshe Leib Sassover, we still continue to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we don't see that Midas HaRachamim, even though at times we don't appreciate the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Afata heve modeid osanu. We ask that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in return, should behave with us. B'mida she'anu modedim lach. Heve mamin banu uvituvenu. You should believe in us as well, that we ultimately really have so much good down beneath the surface. Maybe you don't see it, but the same way we believe in you, even though we perhaps don't see it, we beg and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to believe in us, although very often he is unable to see what we are really all about. Let us remember that when we come to Leil HaSeder, it's an opportunity for us to accept that love, that connection, that closeness, and that understanding of appreciation for all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to us in our lives. And like the Rishner said, all that can be accomplished on Leil Yom HaKippurim, when we come to Shul and we start off with Kol Nidre, all of that is able to be accomplished and more on Leil HaSeder, because this is an opportunity to feel the Ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remind ourselves of, yes, there are difficult times. Not always do we have the opportunity to appreciate and understand what those times are about and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be doing this to the nation that He loves so much. But we remind ourselves that ultimately there is a loving, caring Av HaRachaman that always worries, that always thinks, and that always will put us at the forefront of his understanding, of his compassion. And that is what we daven for. That is what we look forward to. And I wish all of you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Stay on the line another 2 minutes. Amir Tzashem.